Run the bath, the visitor said. Make it warm, since you're cold. Skimica bent down and put the stopper in the drain. It was a simple rubber item, secured by a chain. She opened the faucets, three quarters hot and one quarter cold. Open the paint, the visitor said. Skimica squatted down and picked up the screwdriver, worked the tip into the crack and levered, rotated the can under the screwdriver, once, twice, until the lid sucked free. Be careful, I don't want any mess. Skimica laid the lid gently on the tile, looked up, expectant. Pour the paint in the tub. She picked up the can, both hands. It was wide, not easy to hold. She clamped it between her palms and carried it to the tub, twisted from the waist and tipped it over. The paint was thick. It smelled of ammonia. It ran slowly over the lip of the can and poured into the water. The swirl from the faucets caught it. It eddied into a spiral pattern and sank like a weight. The water started dissolving the edges of the spiral, and thin green color drifted through the tub like clouds. She held the can upside down until the thick stream thinned and then stopped. Careful, the visitor said. Now put the can down, and don't make a mess. She turned the can the right way up and squatted again and placed it gently on the tile next to the lid. It made a hollow, empty sound, damped slightly by the residue coating the metal. Now get the stirring stick. Mix it up. She picked up the stick and knelt at the edge of the tub, worked the stick into the thick, sunken mass, and stirred.
It's mixing, she said.
The visitor nodded. That's why you bought latex. The color changed as the paint dissolved. It went from dark olive to the color of grass growing in a damp grove. It thinned all the way down to the consistency of milk. The visitor watched carefully. It was okay. Not as dramatic as the real thing, but it was dramatic enough to be using paint at all in the circumstances. Okay, that'll do. Put the stick in the can. No mess. Skimica pulled the stick out of the green water and shook it carefully, reached back and stood it upright in the empty can. And the screwdriver. She stood the screwdriver next to the stick. Put the lid back on. She picked the lid up by the edge and laid it across the top of the can. It canted up at a shallow angle because the stirring stick was too tall to let it go all the way down. You can turn the faucets off now. She turned back to the tub and shut off the water. The level was up to within 6 inches of the rim. Where did you store your carton?
In the basement, she said. But they took it away.
The visitor nodded. I know. But can you remember exactly where it was? Skimica nodded in turn.
It was there for a long time, she said.
I want you to put the can down there, the visitor said, right where the carton was. Can you do that? Skimica nodded again.
Yes, I can do that, she said.
She raised the metal hoop, eased it up alongside the unsteady lid, carried the can out in front of her, one hand on the handle, the other palm down against the lid, securing it. She went down the stairs and through the hallway and down to the garage and through to the basement. Stood for a second with her feet on the cold concrete floor, trying to get it exactly right. Then she stepped to her left and placed the can on the floor in the center of the space the carton had occupied. The taxi was struggling on a long hill past a small shopping center. There was a supermarket with rows of stores flanking it, a parking lot, mostly empty.
Why are we here?
Harper asked. Because Skimica is next, Reacher said. The taxi labored onward. Harper shook her head.
Tell me who?
Think about how, Reacher said. That's the absolute final proof. Skimica moved the empty can an inch to the right, checked carefully, nodded to herself, and turned and ran back upstairs. She felt she ought to hurry. Out of breath? The visitor asked. Skimica gulped and nodded.
I ran, she said, all the way back.
Okay, take a minute. She breathed deeply and pushed her hair off her face.
I'm okay, she said.
So now you have to get into the tub. Skimica smiled.
I'll get all green, she said.
Yes, the visitor said. You'll get all green. Skimica stepped to the side of the tub and raised her foot, pointed her toe, and put it in the water.
It's warm, she said.
The visitor nodded. That's good. Skimica took her weight on the foot in the water and brought the other in after it. Stood there in the tub, up to her calves. Now sit down carefully. She put her hands on the rim and lowered herself down. Legs straight. She straightened her legs and her knees disappeared under the green. Arms in. She let go of the rim and put her hands down beside her thighs. Good, the visitor said. Now slide down, slowly and carefully. Skimica shuffled forward in the water. Her knees came up. They were stained green, dark, and then pale where little rivulets of paint flowed over her skin. She lay back and felt the warmth moving up her body. She felt it lap over her shoulders. Head back, the visitor said. She tilted her head and looked up at the ceiling. She felt her hair floating. Have you ever eaten oysters? She nodded. She felt her hair swirl in the water as she moved her head.
Once or twice, she said.
You remember how it feels? They're in your mouth and you just suddenly swallow them whole, just gulp them down. She nodded again.
I like them, she said.
Pretend your tongue is an oyster, the visitor said. She glanced sideways, puzzled.
I don't understand, she said.
I want you to swallow your tongue. I want you to just gulp it down, real sudden, like it was an oyster.
I don't know if I can do that.
Can you try?
Sure, I can try.
Okay, give it a go, right now. She concentrated hard and tried. Gulped it back suddenly, but nothing happened, just a noise in her throat.
Doesn't work, she said.
Use your finger to help, the visitor said. The others all had to do that.
My finger?
The visitor nodded. Push it back in there with your finger. It worked for the others.
Okay.
She raised her hand. Thin paint ran off her arm with thicker globules where the mixing wasn't perfect.
Which finger?
She asked. Try the middle, the visitor said. It's the longest. She extended her middle finger and folded the others, opened her mouth. Put it right under your tongue, the visitor said, and push back hard. She opened her mouth wider and pushed back hard. Now swallow. She swallowed. Then her eyes jammed open in panic. The cab pulled up nose to nose with the police cruiser. Reacher was the first one out, partly because he was tense, and partly because he needed Harper to pay the driver. He stood on the sidewalk and glanced around, stepped back into the street and headed for the cop's window.
Everything okay? He asked.
Who are you? The cop said.
FBI, Reacher said. Is everything okay here?
Can I see a badge?
Harper, show this guy your badge, Reacher called.
The taxi backed off and pulled a wide curb-to-curb turn in the road. Harper put her purse back in her pocketbook and came out with her badge, gold on gold, the eagle on top with its head cocked to the left. The cop glanced across at it and relaxed. Harper put it back in her bag and stood on the sidewalk looking up at the house.
It's all quiet here, the cop said through his window.
She in there?
Reacher asked him. The cop pointed to the garage door.
Just got back from the store, he said.
She went out?
I can't stop her from going out, the cop said.
You check her car?
Just her and two shopping bags. There was a padre came calling for her, from the army, some counseling thing. She sent him away.
Reacher nodded. She would. She's not religious.
Tell me about it, the cop said.
Okay, Reacher said. We're going inside.
Just don't ask for the powder room, the cop said.
Why not?
She's kind of touchy about being disturbed.
I'll take the risk, Reacher said.
Well, can you give her this for me? The cop asked.
He ducked down in his car and came back with an empty mug from the passenger footwell, handed it out through the window.
She brought me coffee, he said. Nice lady when you get to know her.
Yes, she is, Reacher said.
He took the mug and followed Harper into the driveway, up the looping path, up the porch steps to the door. Harper pressed the bell. He listened to the sound echoing to silence off the polished wood inside. Harper waited 10 seconds and pressed again. A burst of purring metallic noise, then echoes, then silence.
Where is she?
She said. She hit the bell for the third time. Noise, echoes, silence. She looked at him worried. He looked at the lock on the door. It was a big heavy item, probably new, probably carried all kinds of lifetime warranties and insurance discounts, probably had a thick case-hardened latch fitted snugly into a steel receptacle chiseled neatly into the door frame. The door frame was probably Oregon pine, felled 100 years ago, the best construction timber in history, dried like iron over a century.
Shit, he said.
He stepped back to the edge of the porch and balanced the cop's empty mug on the rail, danced forward and smashed the sole of his foot against the lock.
Hell, what are you doing?
Harper said. He whirled back and hit the door again, once, twice, three times, felt the timbers yield. He grasped the porch railings like a ski jumper and bounced twice and hurled himself forward, straightened his leg and smashed his whole 230 pounds into an area the size of his heel directly over the lock. The frame splintered and part of it followed the door into the hallway.
Upstairs, he gasped.
He raced up, with Harper crowding his back. He ducked into a bedroom, wrong bedroom, inferior linens, a cold, musty smell, a guest room. He ducked into the next door, the right bedroom. A made bed, dimpled pillows, the smell of sleep, a telephone and a water glass on the nightstand. A connecting door ajar. He stepped across the room and shoved it open. He saw a bathroom, mirrors, a sink, a shower stall, a tub full of hideous green water, Skimica in the water, and Julia Lamar. Julia Lamar, turning and rising and twisting off her perch on the rim of the tub, whirling around to face him. She was wearing a sweater and pants and black leather gloves. Her face was white with hate and fear. Her mouth was half open. Her crossed teeth were bared in panic. He seized her by the front of the sweater and spun her around and hit her once in the head, a savage, abrupt blow from a huge fist, powered by blind anger and crushing physical momentum. It caught her solidly on the side of the jaw, and her head snapped back, and she bounced off the opposite wall and went down like she was hit by a truck. He didn't see her make it to the floor, because he was already turning back to the tub. Skimica was arched up out of the slime, naked, rigid, eyes bulging, head back, mouth open in agony, not moving, not breathing. He put a hand under her neck and held her head up and straightened the fingers on his other hand and stabbed them into her mouth. Couldn't reach her tongue. He balled his hand and punched and forced his knuckles all the way inside. Her mouth made a ghastly giant O around his wrist, and the skin of his hand tore against her teeth, and he scrabbled in her throat and hooked a finger around her tongue and hauled it back. It was slippery, like a live thing. It was long and heavy and muscular. It curled tight against itself and eased up out of her throat and flopped back into her mouth. He pulled his hand free and tore more skin, bent down to blow air into her lungs, but as his face got near hers, he felt a convulsive exhalation from her and a desperate cough, and then her chest started heaving. Giant, ragged breaths sucked in and out. He cradled her head. She was wheezing, tortured, cracked sounds in her throat.
"Set the shower running!"
he screamed. Harper ran to the stall and turned on the water. He slid his hand under Skimmika's back and pulled the stopper out of the drain. The thick green water eddied away around her body. He lifted her under the shoulders and knees, stood up and stepped back, and held her in the middle of the bathroom, dripping green slime everywhere.
"Gotta get this stuff off of her," he said helplessly.
"I'll take her,"
Harper said gently. She caught her under the arms and backed herself into the shower, fully dressed, drammed herself into a corner of the stall, and held the limp body upright like a drunk. The shower turned the paint light green, and then reddened skin showed through as it rinsed away. Harper held her tight. 2 minutes. 3. 4. She was soaked to the skin, and her clothes were smeared with green. She moved around in a bizarre, halting dance, so the shower could catch every part of Skimmika's body. Then she maneuvered carefully backward until the water was rinsing the sticky green out of her hair. It kept on coming, endlessly. Harper was tiring. The paint was slick. Skimmika was sliding out of her grasp.
"Get towels," she gasped. "Find a bathrobe."
They were on a row of hooks directly above where Lamar was lying inert. Reacher took 2 towels, and Harper staggered forward out of the stall. Reacher held a towel in front of him, and Harper passed Skimmika to him. He caught her through the thickness of the towel and wrapped her in it. Harper turned off the hissing water and took the other towel, stood there in the sudden silence, breathing hard, wiping her face. Reacher lifted Skimmika off her feet and carried her out of the bathroom into the bedroom, laid her down gently on the bed, leaned over her, and wiped the wet hair off her face. She was still wheezing hard. Her eyes were open, but they were blank.
"Is she okay?"
Harper called.
"I don't know," Reacher said.
He watched her breathing. Her chest rose and fell, urgently, like she had just run a mile.
"I think so," he said. "She's breathing."
He caught her wrist and felt for the pulse. It was there, strong and fast.